Hello, and welcome to calendar year 2017 Quality Blue Hospital Program Perinatal Open Mic Session. This is the fifth in the series of the open mic sessions we've arranged for you. I'm Lisa D'Amico, the manager of the Highmark Quality Blue Hospital Program, presenting the open mic session today. Today's slide presentation was prepared by Sabrina Essenbach, the Clinical Transformation Consultant for the hospital program in the West Virginia market. So let's begin our session. Slide 2 lists the components and metrics of the calendar year 2017 program in comparison with the calendar year 2016 program. This slide is familiar from the overview session as well as the previous open mic sessions and discusses the updates and changes from calendar year 2016 to calendar year 2017. The calendar year 2017 program is relatively consistent with calendar year 2016 and continues to focus on quality of care and patient safety. The measure that we will be reviewing today, perinatal, falls into the quality component and is highlighted in blue on slide 2. This measure is consistent with the calendar year 2016 program metric with updated scoring targets. Slide 3 gives a brief description and scoring information for the perinatal metric. All hospitals with perinatal services are included in this metric. Highmark's perinatal metric continues to use the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality's Inpatient Quality Indicator, so that's the AHRQ IQI 33 guidelines, which defines the primary cesarean delivery rate uncomplicated. Participants will be measured and scored based on their rate of cesarean deliveries in uncomplicated births as compared to established historical Highmark Quality Blue hospital performance rates for the measurement period January 2017 through December 2017. A maximum of 10 points will be awarded for participants achieving Highmark's Quality Blue primary cesarean delivery uncomplicated 70th percentile rate of 13.33% or less. 8 points can be earned for achieving the 55th percentile of greater than 13.33% and less than or equal to 14.29%. 5 points can be earned for achieving the 35th percentile of greater than 14.29% and less than or equal to 17.46%, and 0 points are earned for those below the 35th percentile or greater than 17.46%. Please keep in mind, results are provided to hospitals throughout the performance year without reference to patient volume. If at the end of the program measurement year, a minimum patient volume of 25 Highmark members was not reached for the perinatal metric, the metric will not be scored and the participating hospital will not be held accountable for this aspect of the program. We're now on slide 4. A decision to use the AHRQ IQI 33 indicator for resulting and scoring primary cesarean delivery rates is consistent with other Quality Blue hospital program metrics focusing on claims-based methodology. The metric has not changed and exclusions have not changed. All hospitals with obstetrical units across our program are scored using the same administrative claims data. The low-risk cesarean deliveries captured in the denominator for this metric are classified as term, live, singleton, and vertex births. Exclusions from the denominator and numerator for this measure are abnormal presentation, preterm, fetal death, multiple gestation, any breech procedure, women with prior cesarean deliveries or hysterotomies. The codes for these exclusions are available to everyone via the link on this slide. Highmark understands there are occasions when providers may assess clinical situations that are not excluded from the AHRQ IQI 33 guidelines, but may indicate the necessity for a primary cesarean delivery to assure the best outcome for the mother and infant. Some examples of certain clinical situations are located on slide 5 and may include abnormal or indeterminate fetal heart tracings, labor arrest, suspected fetal macrosomia, preeclampsia, placental implantation issues, placenta previa, nuchal cord with compression. Cesarean delivery on maternal request as defined as a primary pre-labor cesarean delivery in the absence of any maternal or fetal indications. Education to explain the risks associated with unnecessary or planned preterm inductions, especially those conducted for convenience, should be prioritized. This is not excluded in AHRQ IQI 33 metric. Clinical situations outlined within other national guidelines may not align with the AHRQ IQI 33 metric. Only exceptions listed in the AHRQ IQI technical specifications on the previous slide and also found on page 3 of the calendar year 2017 Quality Blue Hospital masthead are excluded from the denominator. Slide 6 provides a screenshot of the reports page on the Navinet User Interface, or UI, where your hospital reports can be found. Highmark provides two quarterly reports as well as a monthly report to assist our partnered hospitals with their efforts in improving the results of the Quality Blue Hospital program. The Quality Blue Hospital measures and the Quality Blue Hospital score are released quarterly. Please refer to page 43 of the calendar year 2017 program manual for the scheduled report's release dates. The hospital component patient level detail report is released monthly, typically after the 20th of each month. If you need assistance in accessing or understanding your reports on the user interface, you may contact your assigned clinical transformation consultant or provider account liaison. Slides 7 and 8 are visual representations of the score and major reports Highmark provides to participating hospitals. In the examples on slides 7 and 8, the preliminary quarterly hospital score and major report for calendar year 2017 Quality Blue Hospital Program are displayed. The preliminary calendar year 2017 score and major reports were recently provided to participating hospitals via the user interface. The purpose of the calendar year 2017 preliminary reports is to provide hospitals with data to assess potential program outcomes and identify opportunities for improvement. In other words, the report is a snapshot in time and affords hospitals with the opportunity to develop actions and interventions to improve outcomes. Data from January 2015 through December 2015 was used to determine the preliminary calendar year 2017 scores found in the recently posted reports. In our example, the red box indicates the hospital's possible performance for the perinatal metric in calendar year 2017. The column labeled current will demonstrate your quarterly performance rate on a cumulative basis, and the points earned will reflect the quarterly current results. Highmark provides the metric name, total calendar year 2017 points available for the metric, the targeted outcome rate to achieve total points, the hospital's preliminary results based upon calendar year 2015 data, and the corresponding possible points earned for the measure. The preliminary score report is provided as an informational tool to assist you with your efforts to improve your program outcomes. In the example on slide 8, the perinatal measure is noted in the red box. The second column provides the labels of primary cesarean delivery rate, uncomplicated, and the primary C-section delivery rate, uncomplicated rate. The third column provides two labels of uncomplicated deliveries, the denominator, and the C-section uncomplicated deliveries, numerator. In the fourth and fifth columns are the volumes reflective of the uncomplicated deliveries denominator of 256 and C-sections uncomplicated deliveries volume of 38 and the uncomplicated rate of 14.84%. The next column provides the target of less than or equal to 13.33%. And the next several columns display quarters 1 through 4 and the final result. Throughout calendar year 2017, each quarter will provide a cumulative volume for both the numerator and denominator and the year-to-day results. Slide 9 is the monthly patient-level detail reports that you will receive after the 20th of each month. The report has a filter tab on the title row, which allows you to select a category and drill down further into the individual patient details. For this slide and purposes of this report, we have filtered by column B component to reflect the quality perinatal measure. This report contains patient demographic information, including patient name, member ID number, date of birth, admit date, and so on. To review the report, each row provides information specific to each patient. For example, the first row on the slide, the patient has the admission date of January the 4th, 2016, a discharge date of January the 7th, 2016, and has a 1 in the numerator column L, which indicates this patient was a low-risk patient who met criteria to be included in the perinatal metric, and the physician performed a cesarean delivery. Therefore, this patient is counted in the denominator and numerator and is considered non-compliant. In row 6, column L, 0 is listed in the cell. The value of 0 means the patient did not meet the measure numerator criteria, meaning the patient is considered compliant with the measure. We are now on slide 10. Slide 10 indicates several reasons why we continue to evaluate low-risk cesarean delivery rates. Cesarean sections are one of the most common surgical procedures performed in U.S. hospitals. 1 in 3 women give birth via a cesarean section in the United States. Performing a surgical birth when it isn't necessary poses avoidable and greater risks to the mother and her child. And according to the research article, variations in the rate of cesarean section across U.S. hospitals 2013, published by the Healthcare Cost and Utilization Project, HCUP, in 2016, the average cost of a hospital stay resulting in a C-section was over 50% higher than a stay involving a vaginal delivery. Reducing the C-section delivery rate for low-risk deliveries with no medical indication for the procedure will assist with the associated cost for the patient. A 2016 article by Consumer Reports entitled Your Biggest C-Section Risk May Be Your Hospital, the opening paragraph summarizes the points identified on this slide. In many cases, cesarean sections are absolutely necessary. Research shows performing a surgical birth when it isn't necessary poses avoidable risk to the mother and her child and needlessly raises costs. We're now on slide 11. Many of our hospital providers have shared that C-sections may be medically necessary to ensure safe quality of care to achieve a positive outcome for mother and baby. However, for most low-risk pregnancies, cesarean delivery poses a greater risk of maternal morbidity and mortality than vaginal delivery, as demonstrated on this slide. Childbirth, by its very nature, carries potential risks for the woman and her baby, regardless of the route of delivery. The National Institute of Health has commissioned evidence-based reports over recent years to examine the risks and benefits of cesarean and vaginal delivery. The large population-based study from Canada that was published in the Obstetric Care Consensus, Safe Prevention of the Primary Cesarean Delivery, found on the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, or ACOG, site demonstrates the outcomes comparing each mode of delivery, vaginal versus cesarean. Highlighted in the table on slide 11 are some of the study outcomes. Overall severe morbidity and mortality outcome, defined as death, hemorrhage requiring hysterectomy or transfusion, uterine rupture, anesthetic complications, shock, cardiac arrest, acute renal failure, assisted ventilation, venous thromboembolic event, major infection, in-hospital wound disruption, wound hematoma, or both, demonstrated the following results: an increased threefold for cesarean delivery as compared with vaginal delivery, 2.7% versus 0.9% respectively. Maternal mortality outcomes resulted in 3.6 per 100,000 for vaginal deliveries as opposed to 13.3 per 100,000 in cesarean deliveries. Amniotic fluid embolism outcomes resulted in 3.3 to 7.7 per 100,000 vaginal deliveries, as opposed to 15.8 per 100,000 cesarean deliveries. In addition to the maternal risks of a cesarean delivery demonstrated on this slide, there is a neonatal risk associated with cesarean deliveries. Neonatal risks for cesarean deliveries include, but are not limited to, higher respiratory problems and higher risk of the baby receiving a laceration. Performing cesarean deliveries on low-risk patients increases the potential for a subsequent cesarean delivery, increasing the mother and baby's risk during the pregnancy as well. The outcomes with this study shows that 1 to 4% of babies delivered by cesarean section have a respiratory morbidity versus the less than 1% when delivered vaginally. We've reviewed the metric, the scoring, and the reports available to you in order to assist with understanding your hospital's performance and evaluating areas of opportunity to improve, as well as why Highmark has chosen to continue to evaluate low-risk cesarean deliveries. Let's now take a look at some strategies and best practices in managing the perinatal population. Safe reduction of the rate of primary cesarean deliveries requires a different approaches for clinical situations or indications to proceed with cesarean procedures. For example, it may be necessary to revisit the definition of labor dysostosia because recent data show that contemporary labor progresses at a rate substantially slower than what was historically taught. Additionally, improved and standardized fetal heart rate interpretation and management may have an effect as well. Slide 13 provides a look at proactive and retrospective strategies to prevent and/or decrease cesarean deliveries on low-risk patients. Many hospitals within our Hospital Quality Blue program have implemented these and other strategies to decrease the cesarean rate. Proactive strategies to reduce low-risk cesarean births may include and not be limited to review hospital perinatal policies and procedures to ensure they are aligned with your hospital's goals to eliminate or decrease low-risk cesarean deliveries. Provide patient education and utilize opportunities within the facility as well as external community classes such as prenatal care, birthing classes, Lamaze classes, and so on to educate patients on the risks of C-sections for those who are low-risk patients. Provide correct coding education for identifying program-related exclusion codes. Implement a process using a gatekeeper approach to review and approve scheduled cesarean deliveries. Develop the role of the obstetric laborist. Develop an external cephalic version assessment tool. Increasing a woman's access to non-medical interventions during labor, such as continuous labor and delivery support, has been shown to reduce cesarean birth rates. Utilize information technology to incorporating tools in the electronic medical record to assist with managing low-risk patients. A few examples of tools that have been implemented include embedding the labor and delivery record to record Bishop score and all elements of the augmentation and induction bundles. And review patient issues such as labor status during daily shift huddles, discuss during staff meetings, and or send weekly informational email updates to staff. Retrospective strategies may include create and review a process for identifying physicians who perform early inductions and include physician-specific C-section rates, and report perinatal rates and progress of the metrics at monthly administrative meetings, OB meetings, monthly OB section meetings, and so on. We reviewed some best practices on the previous slide, but where do you start? Slide 14 summarizes potential strategies hospitals may want to use to impact the perinatal metric. Step one, leadership commitment and engagement is vital in the success of the program. To be effective, all stakeholders, including leadership, must be involved in the effort in preventing and decreasing cesarean procedures on low-risk patients. Leadership involvement will demonstrate the commitment to improve the quality outcome. Some ideas for leadership are making a commitment to support the perinatal team's efforts in decreasing primary cesarean deliveries uncomplicated and incorporating it into the organization's strategic plan and continuously monitoring the rates to gauge performance improvement and presenting cesarean delivery rates to the hospital board. Step two, physician engagement. Establish champions within the organization that are able to explain the importance of the change initiative. Assist in facilitating the change and motivate staff to embrace the change. We would suggest selection of a physician champion who is open to change and wants to make a positive impact on improving patient and infant safety as well as the outcomes for this metric. Step three, create an engaged perinatal team. After identifying the physician champion, the next individual to add to the team is a team lead. Perinatal team leads are suggested to have an invested interest in the perinatal measure and can facilitate the meetings and be an active and driving force of the initiative along with the physician champion. The perinatal team should consist of a multidisciplinary group of individuals who are committed to leading perinatal care redesign and improving the quality of care for the perinatal community. A suggested list of individuals to participate on the perinatal team, also known as experts, may include and not be limited to a coder, obstetric nurse, an individual from an OB-GYN practice, an IT expert, quality individual, and so on. Step four, performance tracking. As in any quality improvement project or activity, keeping track of progress will help you in assessing and reorienting the work needed to achieve the intended goal. As we saw earlier in the presentation, Highmark's patient detail reports give you valuable data regarding what patients are included in the denominator and numerator. Review and analyze the reports on a regular basis in order to identify monthly cesarean rates and perform root cause analysis on low-risk patients who delivered via cesarean to identify opportunities that may impact future low-risk perinatal patient outcomes and decrease cesarean deliveries. Step five, care redesign. Work to identify gaps in your system that may serve as barriers for achieving the perinatal goals of decreasing low-risk cesarean deliveries. Study your current workflow processes and take corrective action. Implement procedures, policies, education, and tools to support your perinatal goals. Frequently reassess your progress and staff to ensure the policies, procedures, and tools are being followed and utilized. And step six, care coordination. This is an effective care coordination strategy that helps in reducing waste and improving seamless defect-free care transition. This facilitates efficient patient management across the care continuum. The best practice is to make the care coordinator as the patient's single point of contact. He or she reaches out to the patient before, during, and after a hospital stay and follows the patient post-discharge through the perinatal journey. Slides 15 through 17 not only provides the resources used for this open mic session, but also provides additional information to assist you in your efforts to work on the perinatal metric. Before we conclude today's session, I want to share slide 18 with you, which provides you with a schedule of future open mic sessions. Please reach out to your assigned clinical transformation consultant and or provider account liaison for additional assistance if needed. This concludes the presentation for the perinatal metric. Thank you for listening, and we will now open the phone line for questions.